Hello, everybody. The area where I live now is often declared to be one of America's best places to live or to retire. And that has me reading a lot of articles to that effect, and it could have me resting on my laurels, but nope, I am too curious or jaded. As a professional who works with seniors and the people that love them, you can bet that the topic of housing comes up a lot. It may be medically driven, retirement driven, things have changed driven, or I've changed driven. Planning to downsize or relocate are frequent conversations for me professionally, since my clients are balancing wants, needs, and the impact of what I call the pie. The pie is a six-pieced assessment of your status. And the pieces or the headings that we talk about are named medical, legal, financial, insurance, housing, and support. Now, I may be a bit of a strange bird in that when I learn about these Best Places to Live awards, I want to see what was studied to make that determination. I find it interesting to know what factors were evaluated, but also which ones were not. I also look at who sponsored the study or gave out the award, because sometimes those angles are important as well. In a town or city in South Carolina, for example, if they've garnered a high ranking, might the study have emanated from something South Carolina related? I'm following the money here, y'all. Sponsored by Acme Housing Corporation with locations across the Southeast. Well, further study may have us learning about how Acme's expanding in the Southeast market and there are housing vacancies in them thar hills. Acme's looking for tenants. Simply become aware of your data and from where it comes. It seems kind of paradoxical when somebody has captured or formulated or published decisions based on a place for people, but not the people in it. In case you haven't guessed by now, I'm heading to the importance of making housing decisions based on the individual person. We have to evaluate and make these decisions as is best for each of us. When I coach and counsel folks, it's about knowing what a person wants, what they need, and finding the fit for them. To this patient advocate, the fit is everything. Much more important than a pretty or trending place. I'm often asked to field questions about or lecture on finding housing. Sometimes the invitation coming from the host asks that I address the should I stay or should I go question. Now that's usually a way to introduce more education, like the fundamentals of housing types, the differences between independent living, assisted living, memory care, skilled nursing, or long-term care. If you don't yet know all of that, it's a good and foundational study, good information for you to learn. Equally important to me, and me on behalf of my clients, is knowing when, hopefully ahead of time, those transitions may occur in your world, given your situation. While requests to speak or educate are all fine, and I'm happy to do it, I prefer to take the conversation in a slightly different direction, one that involves getting in touch with ourselves now and for later. I like the thought and decision-making behind stay or go presentations. I believe that we have to begin with individualized wants and needs, that kind of thinking. This means it's time to look at ourselves and factor in how we think things will go for us. The three big headings on this kind of thinking may be physically, cognitively, and financially. Any shall I stay or shall I go thinking or conversation should absolutely contain the what I want and what I need elements. Let's be pragmatic. Ah, the wants, such delicious thoughts. Here we can embrace some pleasantry, indulges. Perhaps the dreams live here also. But first, in our pragmatism, let us begin with an initial exercise that I employ in my work. What exactly are my must-haves and my would-be nices? We have a temperature to check exercise here as to know how we're doing right now. We may also wish to factor in influences like how long those in our genetic family may have lived, or any prevailing diagnoses seen in our lineage, and the likelihood of our seeing those in our own future. For example, Harry has been diagnosed with heart disease. He's aware that it runs in his family. Harry will likely plan heavily according to his medical or lifestyle choices. While Larry is the fitness king, working out at the company fitness center, and his weekends are filled with hiking and other activities, Larry may plan relative to location, financial, leisure desires. Both Harry and Larry are subject to change, the plans and the persons. And so if they're smart, Harry and Larry will also have some contingency baked right into their plans. To project our now into the future, there's a little exercise that I often use, and I call it the 5-10-15. I ask participants to think about themselves at this moment and ask, how am I physically? How am I cognitively? How am I financially? Then I ask them to picture themselves 5 or 10 years into the future, 5 or 10 years older and changing. Again, ask yourself, how am I physically? And so on. Lastly, I'll ask the participants to jump 15 or even 20 years into the future and picture themselves. How might they then be physically, cognitively, financially? There should be change, and inside that change lies several of your housing considerations. There are all kinds of factors and circumstances to consider, and their mix is unique to you. Perhaps you may be poised for retirement and your activities and commitments and desires are about to change. You may be aware of things that already impact you physically, cognitively, and financially, and you're beginning to fashion your lifestyle accordingly. Where you live is a big part of that. Returning to the process involving must-haves and would-be nices, I suggest that you stay in the present for this segment of your initial thinking. It's easier because you likely already have some ideas about what you want and need right now. Having done that 5, 10, 15 exercise will influence your thinking, especially the must-haves. That will encompass the physical, cognitive, and the financial. Everybody's different, so everybody makes their own must-haves and would-be nices list. Must-haves. Think about living space and use of it. Factors like your mobility or finances or proximity to the other things that you think you will absolutely need, like groceries or hospitals or your faith community. I suggest that you get out a clean sheet and begin a list. Just capture your thinking. There are endless subcategories, and you are the best judge of what matters to you. The would-be nices list can be more fun, and we get to dream a little. These can be thoughts of ideals or ideas. We're thinking about types of housing, size of town or city, and fun stuff like leisure activities or a good place for our pets. Create these two lists. Using processes like these, we can further define ourselves. We can read those best places to live articles and with better grains of salt. Once we've defined ourselves, we can best find our spot. We can use those best place articles and do other research about things that are important to us. You know, school districts used to be the thing when some of us were younger and raising children. Now it might be crime rate or tax rate or weather. A good resource that I've found to research anywhere is a site called citydata.com. Citydata.com. There you can expand your sense of towns and cities across the United States. You can even choose to use that to plan your trip because it holds so much detailed information, everything from museums to attractions to medical services, transportation, and much more. It gets down to the city block. There's even a city comparison tool when you're getting down to your nitty-gritty. Skinnying the list, as they say, is not always about municipality either. Perhaps you already know that you need a certain level of care, specialty housing, such as assisted living. Then the tables turn a bit and you're looking more at the quality of the housing in a desired area. In some instances, the area doesn't matter at all if you're looking for specific care. Other times it may be that you're looking for this assisted living in close proximity to a loved one. Everyone has their lead domino. All these self-evaluations turn the tables on best place to live articles. They're not the be-all, end-all. Articles can be a starting point or a trigger, but so may be your medical status or your pocketbook. Everybody has a different lead domino. I believe that the answers are found in our own specific situations. I'm pretty good at helping folks discover and determine their best place to live. I've been at this personally and professionally for quite some time now. I've held countless conversations with folks to provide information or provoke thought or find validity, to teach how to research their thinking, or just to be a soundboard as they make their decisions. What are your must-haves and would-be-nices? If I may help you or somebody you encounter with this or any patient advocacy type decisions, I will be in your corner. I hope something that I've shared today helps you to move more comfortably forward in the future. Until next time, thanks everybody.